Hey there, this is Dr. Pam Perry. It's a solo show, just from my heart, nothing scripted, but really, how do you get PR? How do you get into the spotlight? I'm an OG PR person, really helping people for over 30 years in the media. So I'll tell you just some things from my heart, how to get PR, okay? Right after this.
Welcome to the Get Out There and Get Known podcast. Join Pam Perry, veteran PR strategist, Emmy Award-winning producer and publisher of Speakers Magazine, who will show you how to crack the code in getting out there to get known. Each week, she either interviews her media friends, PR colleagues, or she just goes solo, offering you strategies on publicity, publishing, and platform building. So listen up to hear how to get booked on media places and on superstar stages. Now, here's your host, Pam Perry.
Hey, I get hyped on my own music. That is my husband's voice on that voiceover on that intro. I'm so excited. This is, I don't know if you can see it. It's called Make It Happen. All right. So this is September, strategic September. If you're listening later, strategic September, meaning that October, November, and December are the times when you got to really just make it happen. Okay. So make it happen. This is a calendar of your weekly goals, things that you have to do. Class is in. All right. So what I'm going to talk about today is really the heart of PR. People are always saying that, you know, I want to be a publicist. I want to get publicity. I really want to get in the media. I have seen all the reiterations of everything. So one of the things that I want to do is make sure that people know exactly what it is in order to get PR. You know, I produce Speakers Magazine. This is September's issue. Betty Hines is on the cover. There she is on the center spread. Betty's got that boss move. I just love it. I love it. And I want people to really understand, too, that it's not about really your story in terms of you really pitching the media. It's about who you know and the timing. So you can have a great story and it has all the juice and you're ready to send it to Oprah Magazine, say it's about health and wealth. And maybe they're working on, I don't know, the February issue. It has to do with love and Valentine's. Great story, has to do with health and wealth, but then they're talking about love. So the things that I'm gonna make this really, really simple is that in order to get PR, it must meet the timeliness, the newsworthiness, and going to the right media outlet. Does it help if you know the media? Yes, of course. Timeliness is its own thing. So knowing the cycles of news are so important. I heard someone say to me, I don't really watch the news. I said, well, baby, you ain't going to get in the news if you don't watch the news. How are you going to know what they're talking about? So you have to know what they're talking about. What are their pain points? What are the things they like to write about? What are the things they want to share with their audience? And if you have something that you have in your heart that you want to share with their audience, not to sell anything, because remember, the media is not there. The journalists aren't there to sell. The advertising department is the one that sells. You can buy ads all day. That is a whole nother thing about people buying ads on the social media. They're wearing themselves out. But with journalists, they're looking for real stories that are interesting to their audience, that's timely, that's relevant. And so when you're writing a pitch, you're pitching a newspaper, you're pitching a television station, you're pitching a radio station. When we're sitting down and doing a campaign, say we're doing a campaign for October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Pink Month, right? Do we start now? No, we start strategy a few months back so that we will know exactly when it's time to hit what is the thing. Because if someone's going to be writing something for October, they probably have already decided in the month of maybe August or September what they're going to write, depending on what the outlet is. If it's TV or if it's broadcast, probably not so much. Digital, probably not so much. But if you're trying to get into a newspaper, they need a longer lead time, especially if it's a weekly. A magazine, probably 3 months at least. I've been doing this for so long, and I find that the biggest thing that people have done wrong in PR is the timing. So they're all in a hurry. I've got this event. I need PR. I've got this book. It comes out in 2 weeks. I need PR. Or a month. I need PR. Or, you know, I have, you know, whatever it is, they have this thing where they're calling a publicist like it's a fire drill. Seriously. I have someone that will call me. They have a big event. They've been planning all year. And then they call the publicist 3 weeks before to help them get people in the door. But you've been planning this for a year. So just as much care and effort it takes in planning the event, the actual experience, the day of, that's what the journalist would like, so that you can work with the journalist in terms of really crafting a good story, getting the right sources, timeliness. The journalist is not sitting at their desk 24/7 saying, oh, you know what? I wonder if I can get someone to talk to me today. No, they're planning all out. They have to plan. Their bosses are looking at them. It's like, where's your stories? What are you logging in? I had an interview the last week with Sherry with Reagan Communications, PR Daily. She does something daily. So does she need to have content daily that she just wakes up and rolls up out of bed and say, oh, what am I going to write about? No, it's planned out. The same thing with, you know, it looks easy. You know, it looks easy, like, oh, I can get in this magazine. Oh, I can get in this magazine. It's planned. This right here, our October issue is closing. So if you want to get in there on the 15th, which is 2 days from now, it's gone. All right. So now you've got to wait till November. So the main thing I'm just saying is really have a plan. Have a plan. Can you see that? Have a plan. Make it happen. It is not hard. It is really simple. It is, there you go, simple. See how I'm matching with that? It's really simple. What is hard for people to really focus, be strategic. So let's look at a campaign, if you have a campaign. So someone who has a book and their book, they know their book is coming out in October, and they also have an event in October. So both of those things, they're coming out. There you go. Michelle McKinney Hammett does it right, has over 40 books. She's been promoting this for 6 months. She's been writing the book for a long time, but now the book is called, her theme for her conference is Shift. The name of the book is How Shift Happens. And make sure I say that right. How Shift Happens. We did an interview about 3 weeks ago. The book dropped yesterday. Yeah, it dropped yesterday. But we did the interview 3 weeks ago. She's been promoting it. How was she promoting? Just for her thing. One is email. She has a list of over 50,000. Now, she's been around for a long time. Okay. So she's got over 40 books and she's been speaking all over the world. Michelle McKinney Ammon. She's on the back of Speakers Magazine. She's been doing social media, but she's also had traditional media. She's done podcasts. That's fine. That's new media, digital media. She's done some things online, but television she's done, radio she's done, newspapers and magazines. Michelle was often, I used to write about her often in Gospel Today magazine. We used to place her in Precious Times magazines, all kind of Christian magazines. That's her audience, Christian women. Black women. So where are Black Christian women hanging out in terms of media? You have to then put together that strategy. You know, there's different places where you can find Christian magazines, Black women's Christian magazines, radio, Christian shows, gospel shows, and the more. This is the part I love about PR. There's so much media out there today, but you can't just say, oh, I just only want to get to Oprah. Because in the smaller ones are the people that are really what I call like the hypermarkets or hyper local markets that really are more sensitive to the message. So with Michelle from Chicago having her event in Chicago, and the same thing with Betty having her event in Minneapolis, where do we want to focus? Yeah, we could focus on all the things, right? We could focus on CNN and all the wider ones, but realistically, the people that are going to come to your conference are either going to be in Chicago or the people who live in Minneapolis or the people who know her, which is in her area, the DMV. So you focus on the media. So Betty was on the Fox station in the DMV area, you know, DC area. So she was on there. But also, too, we're doing outreach to the Minneapolis area because it's local. She's bringing in hundreds of women, impacting that economy. So that's why I said strategic September. For a lot of times, we're just so busy really looking at all the social media, which is cute. You know, people love social media. You know, they love the TikTok. I love TikTok. I love good TikTok, Instagram. But when you're looking at what is your real goal, how do you really get people to understand your story? How do you really create a position of authority and expertise? How do you position yourself in the market? Anybody can post on Facebook. Anybody can post on any social media. Anybody can get on YouTube. Anybody can stream. Not that I'm against streaming. You know, I love streaming and podcasting, but it takes a little bit more finesse, a little bit more strategy to really understand how to get into the media outlets. It takes a pitch, takes a press release, takes a press kit, and all the branding assets that you really are, that are really needed. And people don't understand, like, what are all the media assets that are needed? Some of the things, just say, for instance, for the book with Michelle. Obviously, the photo is great and all of that, but you need a kit. And the kit will include the synopsis of the book, maybe a chapter or two of the book, questions for someone who was interviewing her to ask. It will include maybe the table of contents, because more than likely than not, I'm just say this, the interviewer will not have time to read your whole book. So you need to make it as easy for them as possible. And that's really the name of the game for any of this. If you want to get media, really make it easy for them. Don't make it hard. If whoever is going to interview you, make sure you send the materials the way that they ask for it. Send a Word doc bio. Send a high resolution photo. Send the links to whatever. What I'm finding is that people, either they don't want to pay attention or they don't know how to pay attention. I don't know what the deal is, but the point of it is that theme of it is people need to follow the instructions and make it really easy for the media. Make it easy for them, because if you don't make it easy for them, it'll become difficult and then they'll push away and they'll find someone else. So make their job easier. Your job is to make their job easier. Their job is not to promote your stuff. It's not to sell your conference. It's not to sell your book. It's not to get you speaking gigs. They are there to create an environment for their audience that is interesting, entertaining, enlightening, educating. That's what their job is. So it's not really for you to say, oh, okay, well, I have this thing and I'm going to just make sure I get on all these television stations so they can make me famous and sell my stuff. Like, again, that is, if you want to sell stuff, that's the advertising department. So you have to come to them different. So writing a pitch, knowing, and this is where the homework comes in. And that's why people hire publicists like me, myself, or other colleagues, publicists, is that we research the outlet, know what kind of things they write about, tailor the pitch to them. So no, we don't ChatGPT that, because you can't tailor that, right? You've got to actually know what each media outlet likes. The press release can be general, but the pitch has to be specific. How about that? That's really it. Yes. Hey there. Hey there. Greetings. Greetings. It's not hard. It does take time. And if you don't have time, then you spend the money and have someone else do it. So I say you either have one or two things. If you want something, either you got to spend time to do it yourself or you have to spend the money to have someone else do it. Now, people love social media because, quote unquote, it's free. But it's really not free, because you're spending your time. You're creating reels. You're writing content. You're getting pictures. It could, listen, if I was starting out today, that would wear me out. It really would. It would wear me out. I'm like, this is just way too much. I would rather go to the bigger guns, go to the media. Go to the magazines. You know, they already have a platform. So you write on their platform. And then depending on what it is, it positions you in that area. So that if it's Speakers Magazine, and you could say, I've been seen in Speakers Magazine, it positions you as a credible speaker. speaking of credibility, that's really what PR is all about. It's a third party endorsement. You know, we can say what say we're great on all the social media platforms, but when a reporter, a journalist, producer, editor, when they write a story about you, it is their interpretation on their platform about you, just like a review would be on Yelp. Whenever we want to buy something or we want to go to a restaurant, don't we look for the reviews? The same thing. People will Google you and they'll say, well, what has been said about them? Yeah, they can see your website, but they know you wrote your website. So you ain't going to say nothing crazy. They'll go to the media and see what the media has said about you. It's a third party endorsement. Hopefully the story is good. So I'm just saying that. And hopefully the publicist has really pitched it enough so that it is good. Now, sometimes there's some cleanup that needs to be done. And then that's a whole nother thing about crisis communications. But if the information is wrong, you can actually go to that particular outlet and have it changed. But remind you, you don't have control over the media. It is their ball. It is their game. So when you pitch them and they write the story, you can't say, oh, I don't like that. Well, you shouldn't have pitched it, because it's their prerogative to write however they want to write it. But it's up to you to provide the information, because if you're not providing information, how are they going to get the right information in the story that you like? So the heart-to-heart about PR, I've been finding that a lot of people have been saying that they are a publicist. A publicist is someone who more than likely has been trained in public relations, in journalism. They can learn it if they haven't. I mean, one of my mentors, Terry Williams, was not in public relations. He was actually a social worker, but had the best people skills. Love Terry. Her book, if you want to learn about how she made the transition from being a social worker to a publicist of Janet Jackson and Mary J. Blige and anybody famous. I don't even want to name names, but just anybody famous. Terry Williams out of New York. Her book was called The Personal Touch. I'll put in the show notes later, The Personal Touch, but it is a marvelous book. But she could write. So obviously publicists have to know how to write, because they're writing, I call it like the inverted pyramid for a journalist. So we're like writing the story, but we don't own the outlet. We're writing it for the journalist, for them to take it and actually create the story or a segment. For a TV producer. I myself have been a TV producer, Jeff Miller, bless his soul, passed not too long ago, but his show, I was a producer for his show. And so we had to put together segments for the audience. We had a live audience and all of that thing. The show was called Transition and On the Edge with Jeffrey Miller, won Emmys for that. Also too with newspapers, timing is everything. There's limited space. That's why a lot of people like to go digital, because there's more space on digital. But if it's finite space in a print publication, they're deadline sensitive, know their deadlines. One of the worst things that you could do is to call a reporter and start just chatting and pitching. You need to ask them, is this a good time? Are you on deadline? Okay. Especially don't call a news desk during the news hour for a news station, TV station, and start pitching your stuff. It's like, don't you know we're on deadline? So anyway, so you've got to know the right timing for that. I've seen the reiteration of from faxing to just emailing to putting things on the news wire to inboxing journalists. If I were a journalist today, I would be overwhelmed, because there's so many places where they have to be. They're MMJ, they're multimedia journalists, they're doing all the things. They're DTM, they're doing the most, okay? And it's so funny, because people think like, oh, this is so glamorous, they make so much money. Yeah, the higher up you are, but typically when you're pitching the journalists and things like that, the ones, the street beat reporters, they're not making a lot of money and they're overwhelmed. I want people to understand the reason why I do this show, Get Out There, Get Known. Yes, we do want you to get out there, get known, but I want you to have the basic respect for the journalists. The respect for their time, respect for their craft, for their field. They're not there to be superstars. Most of them are just storytellers. They're very curious people. They're interested in making sure that they're making a change in the world through their voice, telling a story. And most journalists, and I've had a lot of them on this podcast, go back and listen to a few of them from the Washington Post and the different outlets and things like that. Most of them have always done more. Most of them have always wanted to be a journalist ever since they were small. and it's something in them. So they're doing this because they love it. They never rolled out of bed when they said, oh, I want to be a journalist because I really want to just make someone's famous. Even publicists. For me, when I decided I wanted to be a publicist, it was because I didn't want to make, quote, people famous. I want to help other people tell their stories and let more people know about it. You know how sometimes when you read a book and the book is really good, you know, remember Oprah and her Color Purple story, right? You would buy that book and you share with everybody, right? She's a light bearer. So she's going to share this book, The Color Purple, with everybody. Was she getting paid by it? No. She just loved the book. I was the same way. If it was something that I loved, especially if it was a book or if I knew someone was a speaker and they had a message that was life transformational, I would share that story. I would share it with other people. Say, you've got to hear him. You got to read it. You got to hear him. You got to read. And that became my thing. It was like, this is really PR. And so I went to school for journalism, went to Wayne State University in a journalism school, majored in advertising and PR in the journalism school. So when I got out, I worked at the Detroit Free Press, did that for about 7 years. I worked at different agencies. I worked at PR agencies where I worked at Ford and McDonald's. Then I left that and I worked in radio. I worked in TV. Sounds like I'm really old now. I'm dating myself. So I'm like, oh, my goodness, how old is she? 63, by the way. And then another time I would just say, okay, now I've done all the media. Now I want to work in nonprofit because I had started a nonprofit while I was in my 30s called Blacks in Advertising, Radio, and Television. Some people remember that. Some people don't. Yeah, Wayne State. There we go. And it was basically because I wanted Blacks who were in advertising, radio, and television to come together to really make a difference in the industry because it was very racist. I want to say it's not as racist, but it's still kind of racist. So I was doing DEI work, I guess you would say, back then. They didn't call it back then. But we were giving out scholarships. We did career fairs. That's how I met Terry Williams and all my other mentors like Dr. George Frazier. And so when we did BART, Blacks in Advertising, Radio, and Television, we raised money. We did sponsorships. We did telethons. And I really enjoyed using the influence of the media to make a difference. And I realized that this was a nonprofit. I love nonprofit work. I love using radio, TV, and print to really escalate and elevate the messages. That was my heart. So what did I do? I said, you know what? I got bored with working in the media, and I got a job working at the Salvation Army as a director of public relations for the Salvation Army. Did that for about 7 years. Really learned a lot. I love the human interest stories. Oh my God. They are a life-changing organization. I mean, I could run out every day and find a story to write about. And then I will write about the story and then I will pitch it to the media. That's what you find a story, pitch it to the media. You'll find the right journalist of what that would help promote that story, whether it was a radio news show, whether it was a talk show, print magazines. But anyway, finding stories, doing newsletters, doing all the things in communications, because the whole point of doing PR for like a Salvation Army is to tell the story so that people will hear it for the nonprofit and then they will give money. So the public relations department is in the fundraising, under the fundraising umbrella, because all of that, and no one will give money if you never report out how well they're doing. And how would you report out how well they're doing is to tell the story to the media and they let your constituents know why they should give to the Red Kettle at Christmas time and throughout the year. So anyway, so that was the thing. Then eventually moving into my own in 2000, I started Ministry Marketing Solutions, and people don't realize that I really started it because I was the PR director for the Salvation Army. And I said, let me do this within my community, within the Black community, within the Black church. So I work with Word of Faith, Greater Grace, Straight Gate. They all kind of rhyme, but all the mega churches in the Detroit area, working with them, helping them ghostwrite books, promote books, you know, their ministries, their events, CTAB, all of the churches, because again, I am trying to share their light to other people. If I'm going to promote things, because I could promote hamburgers, I was working for McDonald's and did promotions for McDonald's in cars, I definitely could promote something that's really life-changing. And so that has been my mission. That's why Speakers Magazine, these people here are life-changing people. They have stories that can change people's lives. And those are the people, actually, I'm going to be interviewing her in about an hour. Dr. Gail James and Casey Bell are people who are life changers. And those are the people that I promote. Actually, my church was named Life Changers as well. So when you're in alignment with your assignment, even though I've been doing this for many, many years, I still love it. I still do it. But PR is something that's in my blood. For people to say, oh, I do PR. And it's like, no, you don't. You just do social media. That's not PR. Or you do PR because you talk a lot. Or I like people. I hear people say, oh, I like people. So I want to do PR. That's not what PR is. You know, it's really being a journalist in the brain or a producer, having a producer mind or editor's mind and knowing how to tell that story to the media and pitching it right at the right time to the right people. All right. That's part of my bio there. So PamPerryPR.com. If you want to know about quick media coverage, it's something that's revolutionary that I just started about January. So it's going on about 8 months. But what it is instant PR from the standpoint of where you are. So if you are a person that says, I want to be seen in certain publications, we have a list because I've been doing this so long, about 50 publications that I have relationships with that I can get you in. Like, you tell me the information, I give it to the outlet, and they will run it. Why? Because one, they trust me, and one, I know how to put the story together for you. Because if you give me junk, it's like, yeah, we got to work on this. Because they're not going to print junk, right? So we got to work on it, give it to them, they write the story, they run it. And that's what quick media coverage is all about. Because so many people are like, I don't know where to go. I don't know what outlet. I have a list of about 50, and it's growing. Primarily, a lot of them are African-American focused. A lot of them are geared towards speakers. A lot of them are geared towards women. So those are the outlets. So if you go to PamPerryPR.com, you'll see that. But just really wanted to say that PR doesn't have to be hard. It can be simple if you're strategic. It can be simple if you're just doing it for the right reasons and having the heart. When you say, oh, I want to be in such and such outlet, why? Why do you want to do that? Oh, I want to tell the story about, have they ever done stories like that? So studying the media so they can get in the media is really, really key. I did not know that I would speak. I thought I was going to talk for 15 minutes, but you can see I could go on this. So it has been 27 minutes, and I'm going to get out of here. Yeah, you can see. Yeah, C-Tab, that was it. Hi, Viola. Yeah. Oh, you loved it. That's it. Jackie, you were part of BART. You remember Blacks in Advertising, Radio, and Television. We were doing the things, you know, and those are the things. You do them because it's your passion driven. It's in your heart. You're in alignment. You know, a lot of people say, well, I need to know my purpose. I knew my purpose really, really young. I lived next door to my pastor, and he was a great speaker, Reverend Joseph Jordan. And so I don't know if that was coincidence, if that was God, but I've always loved speakers. And he never did write a book. I always tried to encourage him. He passed a few years ago. But then speakers and authors are the thing. And that's why I do the magazine. That's why I do what I do. If you want to know about PR, you want to get quick media coverage, go to PamPerryPR.com. Hey, there's a Wayne State alumni. Yes, yes. It is one. It's a cool school. You know what I liked about? Hey, Stephen. Hey, how you doing? One of the things that I really liked about Wayne State, I had real professors that were journalists, that they worked at DIV, they worked at the NBC affiliates, they worked at the Free Press News. So my first job, even before I got out of school, was from a professor that I had at Wayne State that worked at the Free Press. So I think maybe 6 months before I graduated, I was working at the Detroit Free Press. So a lot of people who were graduating in journalism, they didn't even have a job in journalism. And I was working at the Detroit Free Press, and I stayed there for about 7 years. Really, really loved it. Started at the bottom, and then I went all the way up. And then I was like, I'm bored with this. And then the J-Way happened, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, enough about that. PR is what I do, what I have been doing. What I love to do is always changing. The new thing in 2024 is to be more strategic. Don't DTM. Don't be doing the most. Try to do less and be strategic. Stephen knows. We're about to teach him. It's Be Still Shine. We ain't be out here doing all this stuff. It's two things that you need to do. And those are the main two things that we're going to be teaching at Speak, Still, Shine. I'm telling you. I'm seeing people out here wearing themselves out. And I'm like, what? Why are you doing all this? Why are you doing the most? So, yeah, it's things have got to change. So if you have any questions, make sure that you go to PamPerryPR. Later on today, I'll be doing another live with Dr. Gail James. She's an inspirational speaker, author. Her book is dropping today. Well, actually drops on the 15th. So, but she's having all of the things come together. And we'll actually talk about her campaign too, because she was in Courageous Woman magazine and she's in this month's magazine as well. So you can see that strategically, she just can't wake up like one day and say, oh, I want to get in all these things. You've got to actually know what you're doing. So yeah, so that's one of the things that I want to really share with people. So with that, I am Pam Perry, and I would love to help you get out there, get known. Go to PamPerryPR.com, and I will see you then. All right, take care. God bless.
You've been listening to the Get Out There and Get Known podcast, brought to you by PamPerryPR.com, where you'll get insider tips on how to build your platform, pitch the media, and promote yourself with confidence. Head over to PamPerryPR.com and get the exclusive video training on the 7 must-have marketing materials you need before you pitch. In order to be considered in media places or superstar stages, PamPerryPR.com.